So, did the SEC cave, or are they just getting with the times? As it was announced today that starting next season, 9-game conference schedule. To break that down and talk all things college football, one of our favorite college football guests, Matt Mershell of the Orlando Sentinel. Make sure you check out his work there covering all things college football. Matt, let's start there. 9 games next season for the SEC. What do you think was the impetus behind this?
I think part of this was the changes to the college football playoff, impending changes. You know, what are they going to move forward with? You know, it's going to be, you know, are they going to go to 16? Is there a possibility they could go, you know, 24, 28? You know, the college football playoff committee, management committee talked about this the other day about, you know, changing some of their, you know, some of their requirements that pertains to, you know, scheduling and strength of schedule and things like that. And I think, you know, the SEC has been kind of sitting on this issue for a while now. It's been a long time. They've debated this back and forth whether or not they thought 9 games was the way to go or sticking with an 8. I think at this point they just realized it's better to kind of go with 9. You know, the Big 12, the Big 10 are at 9 at this point. The ACC is looking at going to 9. The idea is just let's just go ahead and make this move. And you know, again, you know, they're not going to go with divisions. Each school is going to play 3 annual opponents. The traditional rivalries are going to be there as well. So I think all those things kind of set well for the SEC. I think it's one of the reasons why they decide, you know, to go with this now and kind of move forward on that as they decide to move forward with the college football playoff.
You don't think anything had to do with some of the remarks of the offseason and coaches and conferences sort of calling out the SEC? Do you feel like this was maybe a move that the conference decided to make to get in line with the other conferences, or is that just a non-factor? That sort of noise wouldn't make sense to have any effect on an announcement this size.
No, I don't think any of that. I know Greg Sankey a little bit, and I don't think Greg would let any, you know, whatever other conferences or conference commissioners or coaches or whatever we're saying about, you know, the SEC not being at 9. I mean, listen, I think they've been talking about this, like I mentioned, for a while now, and I think they've been. You know, I think they sat down and just said, let's really seriously talk about what this is going to do. And I think based on the new parameters with the playoff, I think they realized, okay, well, this is something now that, you know, this is going to provide a lot of strength for, you know, for its league. You know, I think they're looking at this idea of, okay, now we're a stronger league. And let's look at our schedule. I mean, we play 9. The SEC is one of the toughest conferences in the country. We're going to play 9 games now. You know, I think that's a huge part of that. And I think that's something that's helped them out to make this decision. And, you know, I mean, it was bound to happen. I just think whether it was going to happen next year, whether it was going to happen, you know, 2 years down the road, I think eventually it just came down to looking at the college football playoff and deciding what's best for this conference moving forward to continue to make it one of the best conferences in the country.
So, in my opinion, a team – I'll use this as an example. I think a team that would get impacted the most if this were next year, let's say, would be a team like South Carolina, who is potentially on a playoff watch bubble, but if they had a 9th tough opponent in conference and they lose that game, could that potentially keep them out of a playoff? I don't know if you agree with me, Matt, but I don't think like the Georgias and the Texases of the world, this is going to really impact them much. It would be a team like a South Carolina.
Yeah, and again, it depends on how the scheduling works. You know, I mean, because you know, like the SEC is like a lot of conferences. You know, there are teams at the bottom of their conference, you know, that aren't necessarily as strong. So maybe your 9th team is not going to be an Alabama or a Texas or a Texas A&M. Maybe it's going to be a Vanderbilt. You know, maybe it's going to be a conference, a team that's at the bottom, and it actually benefits you in some ways because you're playing, you know, a less stronger opponent, but it's still an SEC opponent. You know, so I think those are going to be times like that. Other times it's going to be difficult. Other times you're going to have a top ranked team that's going to be that 9th team that's going to come in there, and it's going to, you know, it could be a tough decision to have to play those, you know, those teams. But again, that's, you know, they've talked about this before. You know, when you play in the SEC, that's just kind of the way it is. You know, now whether or not, you know, this league will expand at some point, you know, when the television deals are up, you know, in a few years, you know, that's another aspect of all this. But, you know, I know the SEC has really wanted to do something like this for a while. They've just talked about it. Coaches have hemmed and hawed about it. but I think this is going to end up being the right move. And I think in the long run, you know, when it gets said and done, I think, you know, most coaches will want the opportunity to play someone in their own league rather than maybe playing a group of five school or, you know, a FCS school. I mean, don't get me wrong. I think SEC schools will still do that in their scheduling. But now you're down to maybe, you know, you're playing 10, you know, power four schools. So you're showcasing yourself that you are one of the strongest conferences in the country.
Well, to your point, Matt, the SEC official conference Twitter page literally put hashtag it just means more in the announcement for the expansion of SEC play to 9 games. So you are spot on the money there. All right, around the college football landscape we go. What do you make of this weird story out of Texas where Arch Manning has to scold his grandpa Archie about saying with too much confidence that he knows about the future of his grandson?
Well, I mean, that's not what Arch Manning wants to have happen. You know, I'm sure he's going into the season focused on trying to, you know, lead Texas. This is his chance now. He's finally going to be the starter outright. And what happens is all of a sudden someone in your family, your grandfather Archie Manning steps out and talks about, you know, you already decided you're moving on to the NFL after this year. I mean, I just think that's just a distraction you hate to have happen because, again, you know, you want to go in there extremely focused. You don't want people to be asking you every week in and week out, are you going to the NFL? What's going to happen? You know, what's your plans for the future? What's going on? I mean, goodness, we haven't even played our first game yet, you know, the season. I mean, you know, to be able to think that way, I think is a little bit looking past there. I mean, listen, I think Arch Manning's have some talent there, but we haven't even seen a full season out of them. So I'm sure there are some NFL scouts who are like, let's pump the brakes on that. You know, we got to at least see what he's like, you know, out there. Can he lead a team to, you know, and it's going to be a challenge for Arch. Listen, to be the quarterback of the number one team in the country starting the season, there are going to be challenges there. And if they can go through the whole season as the number one team, that's a pretty incredible accomplishment. If he stays healthy and is the quarterback, it's one of those things that very rarely happens. So there'll be some challenges there. So having your grandfather step up and make that statement, I'm sure didn't help things. And again, you hear that he apologized and everything, but I'm sure for Arch, it's more focused about, you know, getting that week one game against Ohio State, focused on trying to take this team game by game instead of focusing on what's going to happen next year.
Speaking of distractions, what did you make of that proposal by the Big Ten?
I think, I get it. I understand that there's some like, oh, this will be great. Let's do 24-28. You know, the FCS playoff is a large amount of teams. My thing was initially is you guys can't get on 16 yet. I mean, they haven't even decided on of possibly expanding to 16 teams. They have too much trouble on that front. I mean, why are we talking about 24 or 28? I mean, it's to me, it's like, why don't you try to just maybe get to the next step, you know, before trying to jump three or four steps, because normally what happens is you're going to fall when that happens. So I think that's something they're going to have to take a look at and see. Maybe if they go to 16 and they do it for a few years, maybe then they can get everything kind of sorted out how they want to do 24 or 28. I think it's sort of just a pie in the sky type thought by the Big Ten to say, listen, this would be great if we did this. Think of all these teams that you get in there. I think one thing it's going to really kind of hold that down or keep that from happening is, what about the bowl schedule? You know, bowl games are very popular. You know, people like watching bowl games. It's ESPN, you know, that's what fills ESPN's airtime during the month of December is bowl games. And if you go to 24 or 2018 playoffs, you're going to lose a bunch of bowl games. That means, you know, those are opportunities that, you know, in some cases that teams won't be able to have. And so I'm not sure if that's something they're going to be able to do. Plus, you have to get through financing. We haven't even gotten through a full year of revenue share. I mean, those are things that, you know, you have to kind of still kind of go through and figure out how that's working well. So I'm of the belief that that's just a pie in the sky type philosophy. Maybe just focus on getting to maybe that 16-team playoff and getting that set up before we start talking about 24 or 28.
What do you make of this weekend's matchup with Kansas State and Iowa State overseas, and do you like that format that we've done the last couple of years of starting the season abroad?
Yeah, I think it's going to be huge. I mean, this is the kind of game you want on a week zero game. You know, this game actually matters on several levels. It matters in the Big 12. Both these two teams are considered, you know, one of the top teams in the conference. You know, they're meeting head to head. This gets an opportunity. Whoever wins this game is going to have at least an early leg up on the Big 12, you know, title race. You know, whether it's Iowa State, which has won, I think, four of the last five meetings, you know, I think they want an opportunity. Obviously, Kansas State is going to be a top program. They're trying to go for it. It also has implications for the college football playoff. I mean, both these two teams are expected to be in the top 25. They're in the top 25 starting the season. So, I mean, you know, you're looking at this idea of, you know, whoever loses this game, you know, might fall out of the rankings. It might hurt their chances. This is a big opportunity on the quarterback scene. You know, you look at the quarterback situation with Rocco Beck at Iowa State and Anthony Johnson at, you know, Kansas State. I think it's going to be a heck of a matchup of those two. So I'm looking forward to this weekend. I think the Farmageddon is definitely the game that's high on my list of games to watch this weekend.
More pressure on Texas than Ohio State to win?
Yes. And that's a good question, because I would say yes, because Texas being the number one team, having been there before, it's tough. But I also think Ohio State comes in with this idea of, you know, you're the defending national champions, you know, and I think people are expecting you to come out there and perform. If you lose to Texas, in a way, you know, I think Ohio State could say, okay, they're the number one team in the country. You know, we went through a bunch of changes. Everything's, you know, it's going to take us a bit to get back to where we're at. You know, if you're Texas and you lose, all of a sudden people start pointing the finger and saying, okay, maybe you weren't as good as everyone thought you are. You know, maybe Arch Manning isn't as good as we think he is. And then the pressure really starts to mount a little bit for Texas. So I think Texas, this game is really, you know, I think for them, the pressure is going to be on. And it's a big test for Steve Sarkisian, the head coach. You know, they really haven't had this kind of opportunity since he's been there. And I think now they get a chance to do that. And if they can prove themselves and go into Ohio State and win that game, I think it's huge for them. I think it puts them on a great footing momentum-wise moving forward, and I think it's what they exactly like to have to get into the season.
How big would another Week 1 loss be for Brian Kelly?
Oh, that would I think, you know, I've said this over the last couple months, that I think if they don't have a successful season. And by successful season, I mean not just go to a bowl game. I mean, they've got to probably get into the college football playoff. If that doesn't happen, I got to wonder how long is he going to be coached there? Because they spent a lot of money to bring Brian Kelly in. And it wasn't just to go and play the average bowl game. They want an SEC title. They want to get a chance to play in the college football playoff. They want to compete for the national championship. If they were to lose in the Week 1, I think there would be so much drumbeats the idea that of possibly, you know, making a change. They've invested so much money in him, though, and I'm not sure if they could make a change. But I think there would be a lot of unhappy LSU fans, because again, you were brought in to win games. That's the reason why they took you away from Notre Dame, was to come to LSU and turn things around. And if you can't do that, you can't get that to that big game. It's going to always be a fault for you. He wasn't able to do it at Notre Dame. He didn't win a national title at Notre Dame. So, you know, at LSU, they've got maybe some better athletes there, but is he ever going to get over that hump and try to get to the title game and win it?
Before I let you go, speaking of Notre Dame, any surprise about Carr getting the starting job?
No, I think, you know, I think Marcus Freeman was pretty, you know, wanted to have a competition, was able to kind of get through that, especially in today's day and age of the transfer portal. You know, you want to make sure you keep both guys there. I'm interested in Carr at quarterback. I'm interested in Notre Dame. I think it's interesting, you know, they've had last 2 years, you know, they've relied heavily on the transfer portal. They brought in experienced quarterbacks who they felt like could get them to that next level. Now they're going with a little younger guy, and it's going to be a challenge to see, can this guy, you know, can they run the offense? Can they go out there and have success and win and develop a quarterback, you know, and go from there? I think a lot of teams, you know, are so enamored with the idea of going out and bringing in a veteran, you know, to lead their teams to the college football playoff. But in some ways, some of these teams have to start developing quarterbacks. I mean, it's just part of nature. And I mean, you know, that's the way the system is. So it'll be interesting to see what happens at Notre Dame.
Matt, appreciate the time. As always, we'll check in soon and enjoy this game starting this weekend.
All right, thanks a lot. Take care.
All right, that is Matt Mershell. Check him out in the Orlando Sentinel College Football Insider. When we get back, what did Raheem Morris have to say about the offensive line depth and his coaching philosophy in the preseason? You'll hear that and more coming up. It's an NFL soundcheck to close out the 8 o'clock hour coming up next.